Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
And a very good morning. Welcome to the program. Nice to have your company on this Tuesday morning, December 7. Hopefully, the rain is easing, but the forecast doesn't look great. We'll have a look at the forecast for the next 7 days shortly, particularly tomorrow, first day of the Ashes test. Well, yesterday, Mark Braybrook filling in for Pat Neils. I was here on my lonesome because Webby, the work experience boy, was back at training for the first time, but he's back in this morning. Dane Zorko, good morning to you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, like a truck's run over me, Mark. Good morning to all our listeners. Yeah, day one yesterday, quite sore today. I'm expecting right up until Christmas I'm going to be quite sore. So, it was good to get back out there and see everyone again. A lot of the older boys went back last week to join in with the younger players, but there was a few of us that waited till yesterday. And
But you've been back in there just popping your head in and doing a few weights, et cetera, hadn't you?
Yeah. I've obviously been around them all, but I guess that intensity level that goes up day one when everyone gets back, just you can't match it. It's like a game. You can train as much as you want, you know, in the season. But then when the games come around, the intensity is a different level. And it's exactly the same with preseason. You train, you run around, you know, with half a dozen or whatever. But when the full group is back together, it's just a different level. And I'm feeling that today.
We'll hear from you, coach, a little bit later. But just one question before we get on to other sport and come back to hear from Fakes. Do you get a feel that first day when you walk in about what the year could be like? Do you get a sort of like each year as you get older, is there a different feel depending, and you look back at the end of the year and say, I ask this because Chris Fagan made the point, and we'll hear it a little bit later, about how happy he was to see everyone really fit. So I'm just wondering what your first impression was with the group back together and what the vibe was like compared to the end of last year.
Well, I heard a lot out of last week's training that the boys, you know, look really sharp. And the biggest note for me is the skill level. And early on in previous years, it's taken us a couple of weeks to get our kicking leg back, our hands back. But yesterday, seeing that firsthand was probably the first time since I've played, and especially under Fags's tenure, that I've gone, geez, the boys they've done something here. Like they just look a lot sharper. Our skills, it's normally the first thing that goes and takes forever to come back, but the skills yesterday were as good as anything, and that's exactly what Fake said to me last week. So I guess our strength and conditioning coaches and our fitness and our coaches, they all say you can't win a premiership in December or November, but you can certainly lose one. And I feel as though the boys have done a mountain of work in the preseason. That's probably due to the fact that COVID has not allowed players to get home. So, you know, you've got a core group of boys pushing each other every single day because there's nothing else for them to do up here. They hang out every day. They do everything together. So boys' routines throughout the off-season would be to get up early, go run, go to the gym, do a bit of touch, have a kick, and then enjoy the rest of your day. And they've done that, for the last 10 or 11 weeks. So it sort of doesn't surprise me that the boys have come back in such great nick, but until you put under that first day intensity and the pressure and all the eyes are on you, the cameras are everywhere. And to see the boys execute the way they did was really pleasing. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and excuse me, and the motivation, I suppose, of last year and the year before being so close and realising that in reality, mate, you only have a certain window, don't you, with a group of winning a premiership. And the group that you have had two cracks at it. This may be, you know, you're at the back end potentially of that window.
Yeah, it's certainly getting to the back end for me and a few of the others. Richie, probably another one. Even Locke's getting on a little bit, Jared Lyons. So it's certainly a window there. I think what a lot of people supporters don't realise that we've got the third youngest group in the AFL still. I know this is an important window for us as elder players, but in terms of the club setting up a long-term, sustained success, which is something that we set out to do under Fags' tenure, we're certainly on that pathway. And when we started 3 years ago in our first finals campaign, you know, there was 18 or 19 of us that hadn't even played a finals game. Now, 5 or 6 years down the track, under Fags' coaches, coaching methodology, there's about a core group of us as players now that have all played between 5 and 8 finals, which is, you know, enormous. So that adds a lot of experience, and hopefully when I retire and Richie retires and the older boys retire, you know, they're playing in their 10th, 11th final series, and, you know, the premierships are there to be won for the group. But you're right, for me and a couple of the older boys, our window is certainly in the next few years, and the younger boys are driving that to hopefully make it happen.
Well, while you were doing that, yesterday I had the first snake of the summer.
Wow.
Yeah. Gives you a bit of a fright. It wasn't a big one. I'm not exactly sure. I think it was a tree snake.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I didn't stick around to have a look. I was going to put something in the bin and notice something move, and sort of got a little bit of a fright. It wasn't overly big. I don't think it was a brown snake, but it was a browny greeny colour. I think it was one of those tree snakes that just slithered into a little bit of long grass, and I just went inside and said to the wife, and just saw the first snake, keep the dog inside for a while.
And you see a few of them? Yeah.
Oh, we've had a couple. Next door, more than us, the carpet pythons. It wasn't a carpet python. I don't know what they look like. Ooh. Those, you know, big pythons.
Yeah.
And I remember one day having a call for a snake catcher. And the bloke came around and got the snake out. It was next door. It was in next door's ensuite. The husband was away, so the wife called me over to help. I said, what do you want me to do? I said, I'll call the snake catcher. Anyway, so he came around and got this snake and said, oh, okay, where's the other one? We said, what do you mean? And he said, well, they're normally in pairs, the pythons. There's normally two of them, not just one. I said, oh, anyway, I haven't seen the other one. I've got other things to do. I better go. Like, it wasn't my place. But, yeah, a couple. And then the neighbours on the other side had birds. We've got renters now, the last couple of people. So the two renters ago, they had birds. And I remember saying to my wife, well, that's only going to lead to snakes coming around. And within a week, the birds were eaten by the snakes.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
It's funny you should say that, because at the back of my house, next door, I've just put up this beautiful bird aviary.
Right.
And then I heard the next door neighbour walking along the fence line. He goes, oh, here's a snake skin. And I've gone, oh, you're kidding me.
They attract them.
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't come in. You know, I've watched that Discovery Channel where they've got the snake catcher. I think it's on one of the Foxtel channels, and the Sunny Coast snake catcher. And I've listened to his advice, you know, clean out your gutters, make sure there's no, you know, areas where snakes can sort of settle in. So fingers crossed they're not peeping over the fence.
We've got too many of those areas. Well, one of the reasons I'm talking about the snakes is because I don't want to talk about the heat. Last night. When I say the heat, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the Brisbane heat. That was pretty – I was really disappointed. I expected a bit more. I know it's only the first game and all that blah, 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 and the night before the Sixers, you know, thumped the Melbourne Stars. But it just seemed to me the same old, same old. Only three batters got into double figures last night.
Yeah, it's the same story every year, isn't it? They always start slow, the heat. But they trust their process, so – they're never going to die wondering the heat. They're going to come out. They're going to try and thump the ball.
Well, it looked like they were batting on a different pitch.
Yeah,
to the Sydney Thunder. Mm. So yeah, not the ideal start. But anyway, they're back on the Gold Coast for their next game, and then they're at the Gabba. They play the Thunder again in a week or so's time. So disappointing start for the Heat last night. And yesterday, press conference wise, we had Joe Root up for England, and we had Travis Head up for Australia. It was interesting listening to Joe Root. I mean, they still haven't named their 11. The Australians, of course, named their 11 over the weekend. Now the forecast for tomorrow is partly cloudy, a high chance of showers, most likely in the afternoon and evening, the chance of a thunderstorm, most likely in the afternoon or evening. So I reckon tomorrow morning will be okay, and then by, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, I mentioned yesterday, hopefully we get those typical Brisbane days where it's nice and steamy and sunny and warm during the day, and the rain comes at night after play.
Which will just be magnificent for us, because I don't think the Pommies are going to like that weather too much. But, yeah, it'll be disappointing if, you know, we lose a few days to the weather. But it does seem strange that you wouldn't have named your side yet.
Well, he spoke about that. We'll get to that in a moment. But here's what Joe Root had to say on the first test.
I wouldn't say it's a lottery. I think that the most important thing is that over the course of the next couple of days, we do everything we can to ready ourselves, not just physically but mentally. There's obviously been a very different build up to this series and to this test match in particular. I just think more than anything, it's really important that mentally we're as prepared as we can be with the little cricket and match cricket that we've had coming into it. But I think we've planned very well for this. We've given ourselves the best possible chance with the opportunities we've had to play outside and to train outside. And we just have to be full of confidence and trust all of the work that we've done leading into it.
It's going to be the same for both teams. Both haven't played much red ball cricket. The Aussies haven't played a test match since the Gabba when they got beaten by India. England have had some test cricket, but they've been in isolation like the Aussies. They've had the players come back from the T20. So neither of them have had, a lot of red ball cricket. Added to that, England have got Ben Stokes, who's played very little cricket at all.
Yeah.
And to be thrown back in at that level, that elite level, Zorks, is really tough.
It is extremely tough. So I'm interested to see how Stokesy goes. But, I mean, he is a class athlete and, he's done it a number of times before where he just seems to come out and execute and give the Aussies a little bit of stick and a bit of trouble. So it's going to be an interesting test match because of that. I mean, I spoke about earlier about you do all your preseason, but as soon as you get into the matches, it's really hard. I mean, they have had zero to none. Like they have had no red ball whatsoever. So for them to come in first day of an Ashes, first of the Test series, a Brisbane wicket, it's going to be green, it's going to be wet. There's a lot of things flying around, and I think Joe Root hit the nail on the head. It's going to be a mental game. The team that can settle in and focus on executing their game plan the quickest, the earliest, and get into their rhythm will probably be the team that wins.
Well, he did talk about the pitch,
yep,
and he spoke about the toss.
I've not had a look at the pitch yet. We've obviously just got here ourselves, so I'll have another look at it. You can tell that Pat's already put a stamp on things as a fast bowler, as captain of Australia, so we'll have a look if it is green. Let's see how it looks again tomorrow and obviously on the morning of the game. So I've not got any clear idea on what I want to do at the toss as yet. Try and leave that as late as possible.
Well, nor should he. I mean, the question was asked in the press conference. Someone said, I've just come from the Gabba and it's very green. That's Monday. The test is on Wednesday. They'll do another mo today. It still won't look like it's what it's going to be on Wednesday morning.
No,
and
right.
I know it's a cliche. You wait until the toss. You wait until you have the last look. And surely in the back of Joe Root's mind will be two words, a name, Nasser Hussain, who sent Australia into bat at the Gabba after winning the toss, and Australia made about 1,000. And NASA has never been able to live that down. I mean, Ian Chappell says, 99 times out of 100, you win the toss and bat. And on the 100th occasion, you think about bowling, but you bat anyway. Look, the Gabba, and having been the ground announcer at the Gabba for about 15 years and been there in Shield matches and seen that pitch and how it changes from Monday, Tuesday to 2 days before to 1 day before, and you've seen it as well training there, you don't make that call until the morning of the match. Added to that, it doesn't necessarily play as bad as it looks. And a Shield wicket compared to a Test match wicket at the Gabba is chalk and cheese. I'm in the Ian Chappell camp regardless, because if you get through that first session at the Gabba on Wednesday, you can fill your boots.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think my gut feel is Australia will probably want a bat.
Yep.
I mean, I know they've got Joe Root's got Broad and Anderson up his sleeve, who are obviously been class bowlers for a number of years, but I'm with you. I think runs on the board and setting a target for them to have to chase, and who knows what's going to happen with the weather. I just think runs are king in a test match for mine.
Particularly first innings runs.
Exactly right. So I'd love Joe Root to bat first, and hopefully we bowl him out for not much. But
that's the point I was about to make. It's also one of these tosses, I think, that's coming up that you wouldn't be overly disappointed if you lose the toss. I reckon there'll be a bit of pressure on both captains to bowl first because of the weather we've had. But having said that, and we just spoke about the forecast for Wednesday, and it's a similar forecast for Thursday and for Friday.
Yeah, okay.
But you don't play a game of cricket based on the weather. You've got to just play it as it happens. And if it was a brilliantly sunny day. And once again, the ball reacts differently at the Gabba depending on the cloud cover.
Correct. Now, speaking, I mean, I went down and watched the Australians train on Saturday morning down at Ian Healy
Oval. Did you ring Paddy?
I did it because Benny Davis was down there. So I thought at least someone from Seven's doing their job. Nah, sorry, Benny and Paddy. And I would be more than comfortable with Australia bowling after seeing what Mitch Stark was doing out there. Now, I know the wickets are going to be completely different, but the way he was sending them down and getting them to move and hearing the voices of Marnus and Davey Warner, who were out in the middle facing him, going, oh, hey, whoa, and the thud of the ball hitting Alex Carey's gloves. I'm comfortable with them batting after seeing that. I've watched England bowl as well, but there's a different look about this Australian team. I think they've got a real business-like mind, and they are going to go out and execute this game plan. I'd like them to bowl first, to be honest, for that reason only, because they are wound up, ready to go. And I think with all that talk about Richardson and Stark, you know, bring Richardson in, Stark, you know, he's out of form. You look for a response out of your player, and I reckon they've got one with Stark. And I know he hasn't done it yet, but what I've seen for him practicing, I think bowling and giving him the fresh nut on day one will be a great start.
It's Christmas Eve, isn't it, really, today?
Yeah, it is. It is.
The day before an Ashes series starts, once every 4 years in Australia, of course, once every 2 years if you consider, you know, when we travel overseas. Yeah. But, you know, Christmas comes but once a year. Mm. Well, the first day of the first Ashes test at home comes once but every 4 years. So
I'll tell you what, I've got a story here.
Yeah.
I was at schoolies in 20-something, and Stephen Harmison come in, and we'd been late night the night before, but we got up, and I think it was about 9:30 first ball, and we were sitting on the couch ready to go, and then Harmison bowls it off the pitch, and we have just erupted straight into it again, and off we went. That was the only ball we watched. We're like, Aussies are going to win for sure.
Well, you know where I was? Where? I was sitting behind a microphone at the Gabba as the ground announcer on that first ball. And someone asked me a question. I was in the control room and, you know, it announced the teams coming on and all that sort of stuff, and to open the bowling from the Vulture Street end for England, Steve Harmison, blah, 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 and the eruption, et cetera. And so he's about to come in and bowl the first ball, and someone asked me a question behind me. So I've turned around to answer them, and I didn't see it. Oh. It was the only ball of the 5 days that I missed. I didn't actually see it live. I had to watch it on the replay. Oh. And I'm sitting there right behind, high up, whatever, and just heard this roar, and I turned around and I saw Andrew Flintoff with the ball. and that was the only ball of the test match I missed, because some numpty behind me asked me a question. I mean, I shouldn't have turned around. The first ball of an Ashes, it's like
4 years.
Yeah, it's like Christmas, and someone's handed you a present. You're about to open it, and someone says, "Would you like a cup of tea, or you like a what do you want for breakfast?" You know what I mean? Like, hello, can't you see I'm doing something here? So anyway, yeah, that was me. I was there. Wow. I was the grand announcer that day, and missed that ball because someone asked me a question. It was the only ball of that test match that I missed. Wow.
Unbelievable. So it was what a ball to miss, eh?
Yeah, it was a pretty good. Pretty good job to have, too. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. Now, I want to play this grab because I want to ask you about this. This is Jay Root speaking about captaincy, and it came because Pat Cummins, of course, is going to captain for the first time, but not only that, as a bowler, too. So Jay Root was asked about being a captain and, you know, sort of maturing into that role and what it will be like for Pat Cummins.
Yep.
From my point of view, I mean, I'm sure it's different for everyone, but from my point of view, it did take quite a while to sort of find out my own way. And throughout my tenure, there's always been different challenges to overcome and to manage. And I suppose you just sort of try and learn from those experiences and learn through, you know, the different things that you have to deal with along the way, whether that be on the field or off it. So, in that respect, it's very difficult to really put a time on it. But obviously got a lot of experience behind myself now. And as I say, very much looking forward to getting our teeth into the series now.
Now, that can be for any sport, that answer, can't it?
Yeah, it can. It can. And I think Pat Cummins is going to have a lot to think about, especially in the first morning of a test and the Ashes test, as you spoke about. But interesting to hear Joe Root say he's always learning. He's constantly looking at different things. That's going to be a massive whirlwind for Paddy at the moment. I mean, he's got to focus on fields. He's got to look at what he's going to have for different bowlers. But I think, and I know Heels and that, it probably a little bit against having Steve Smith as the vice captain. But I thought it was a good good tactic and a good move, because he's got someone that's been in that position before and experienced the pressures and done it all before him to actually help him and guide him through that. It's going to be hard. He's going to worry about his own bowling performance. He's going to come in and have to bowl 30-odd overs.
But what's the easiest part of captaincy for you? On the field during the game or off the field? Which gives you the biggest challenge?
On field.
Really?
Has to be. Because you're not only worrying about...
But isn't that where you're more comfortable on the field as a player with your mates rather than making sure that off the field you're setting an example that the younger ones have to follow, and the pressures of media interviews and sponsor commitments and things happening around the club? Do you not find it almost a haven being on the field?
Well, probably when I first took over the captaincy, yeah. But now that off-field stuff becomes a lot more natural. Yep. And a lot more easier for me because of the experiences that I've had. But at the very start, I'd probably say no.
Exactly what Joe Root was talking about there.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So it's just so much for him to think about. But, I mean, from my experiences, you'd like to think, I mean, Pat's, I think he's ready for the job. But there's no doubt he's probably learnt from what Steve Smith's done, what Payne's done, and he's going to be trying and thinking, okay, how can I put my little twist on it? And that's all he's got to do. But he's been made the captain because he does all these things anyway.
Yep.
So he doesn't need to change too much. All he needs to do is fine-tune a few things, and there's a few more responsibilities. And that's what someone, Jonathan Brown, told me. And I think you'll be all right. But the hardest part, and I think I had a luncheon the other day and Jeff Thompson spoke about it. It's like he's got to come in and bowl, and then he's just going to want to put his feet up at the end of the day, and he's going to have all the extra media commitments and all that. And until you get used to having to do that, it's going to be tough early on. So I'm confident he'll get it done. As I said, he's got Smithy there to help him out, and I'm sure they'll all get around him.
The Brighton Homes open line, 13 13 55. Brighton Homes include aircon, flooring, steel frames and solar as standard. Discover today why it's better with Brighton and the Love Family Law text line. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers. Love is all you need. 0467 736 736. It's 7 to 7.